From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the president kowtows to Russia, states start to stand up against the feds, and China continues to threaten her neighbors and the U.S. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Wednesday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins reflected on President Biden's trip to Europe for the G7 conference, where he held ill-advised meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Joining Tony to talk about it was Montana Senator Steve Daines.
Senator Daines, welcome back to the program.
Glad to join you, Tony.
So what image is being projected to the world by this new administration?
Well, I think President Biden was very weak going into this meeting, and he's weak coming out of it. Biden has been very soft on Russia, and he's been pretty tough on America. You look at what he's done, certainly with the pipelines, killing the Keystone pipeline, on one hand, killing American jobs, and then he greenlights the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, a natural gas pipeline that will run from Russia to Germany. And then look what's going on with cyber attacks. These are Russian cyber attacks that took down a Colonial Pipeline that was a major pipeline along the East Coast supplying gasoline. It took down a meat packer. And then just look at yesterday. It's no coincidence, Tony, that the Russians had their largest military exercise in the Pacific since the Cold War, about 300 miles west of Hawaii. We had to scramble three F-22s. So that's not a coincidence. Putin's flexing his muscle. He's coming out of it strong. Biden, I thought, went into the meeting as weak and came out of it looking weaker.
You know, Senator, I think you're right. I mean, there's no question when you look at what is happening. I think even what happened in Israel just a couple of weeks ago was also testing the new administration. And I think what has been projected over and over is weakness. I mean, you think about it. We have an administration that is more interested in transgender policy in our military than equipping our men and women to fight. They're having them stand down so that they can look at extremists. They're more concerned about pushing radical ideology like critical race theory throughout our nation's military than they are equipping them to fight and win America's wars. The tyrants abroad get that. They understand that. They're not playing games like we are.
No, they're not. And it's just two different views of the world, Tony. We understand. We understand there's good and there's evil in this world. There's good guys and there's bad guys. As you mentioned, Israel, I mean, the reason that Hamas and Hezbollah were emboldened to start launching rockets into Israel is because President Biden said it's time to cozy up to the Iranians and restart these discussions and start sending a massive amount of cash again, like we saw from President Obama. But another part that was very telling, I think, was Biden just released his budget, his federal budget. It was a 16% increase, so more massive federal spending on a lot of the social programs. There was only one area that was cut. If you factor in inflation, one area, and that was defense spending. So massive increases everywhere. One place he cut was defense spending. Now think about what message that sends to Putin and her adversaries, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, the Russians, when Biden is going on offense with that kind of budget, with actually reductions in defense spending.
Yeah, no question. And I want to get to, in just a moment, I want to get to a bill you've introduced to protect babies who are born with Down syndrome, those that are conceived in the womb and diagnosed with Down syndrome. But first, before I get to that, back to this defense issue, back to our energy issue. You talk about, cutting the Keystone pipeline. He goes to the G7 meeting talking about climate change and renewable energy. I mean, I would have to think China, Russia, they're laughing at this because they know the only way to sustain power right now is the use of energy, oil, and we're cutting it off here in our own country, making us energy dependent again.
Tony, I think they're more than laughing. I think they're cheering what's going on. If you think about what competitive advantage we have in America to win the race against China, which will be the great challenge we face for our kids and our grandkids, we're free, they're not. We have the rule of law, they don't. And we have an abundant supply of energy. We are energy independent. Thank God for that in America. And the Chinese are the number one importers of oil. So on one hand, the president now is threatening our freedom, threatening the rule of law, unilaterally disarming us as it relates to energy production, and putting dependencies now on places like the Middle East, on the Russians. I'll tell you what, it's Putin and Xi Jinping who are cheering what's going on with Biden, then adding more insult to injury. They talk about significantly raising taxes. That's how you slow down innovation, economic growth, and job creation.
Senator, unfortunately, we're out of time, and I want to get you back on to talk about Protecting Individuals with Down Syndrome Act that you have been working to get bipartisan support for this measure on the Senate. Quickly, where can folks find out more about this bill?
Well, it's just Protecting Babies with Down Syndrome. If you do a Google search on it, every life, no matter how many chromosomes you have, Tony, they are God-given. They have a God-given right to life, and 67% of Down's babies are aborted in the womb. It's chilling.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that insurance companies denying coverage for those mothers once they identify those babies with Down's. And thank you as well for leading the pro-life caucus in the Senate. Senator, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. Always good to be with you.
All right. And folks, you can find out more about that legislation. Go to TonyPerkins.com. We'll have links up there to that. All right, coming up next, the Justice Department wanting to threaten states that are working to correct election irregularities that surfaced in the fall's election. But here's the good news. State leaders are telling the federal government, don't cross that line, buddy. We're going to talk about it next, right after this. What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, President of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel during the Easter season with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, myself, and others from April the 5th through April the 15th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. All right, I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, we got folks standing by to take your phone call if you'd like to join with thousands of folks across the country that are standing with Family Research Council to make sure Washington Watch continues and our activities on Capitol Hill continue. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Because of generous donors that have put forward $1 million match, everything you give between now and June 30th will be doubled. 800-225-4008. All right. Last week, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced that the Department of Justice would be redirecting resources in order to, quote, meet the challenges of the current moment, end quote. That is the election reform efforts that states have been working on since the November election. The Attorney General pledged to double in the next 30 days the size of the enforcement staff at the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, alleging that the right to vote needs to be protected, and reiterating the left's talking points that the new voting laws passed in more than a dozen states so far, quote, make it harder to vote. Well, thankfully, there are state leaders that aren't buying this stuff. In fact, they're calling it out for what it is. Joining me now to talk more about this is one of the attorney generals from the states that is representing a state that has actually passed reform efforts, and he's not playing games. Joining me now, Attorney General Mark Brnovich from Arizona. Attorney General, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much for having me on.
Now, I read your letter. You sent a letter last week to the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, and I like what you had to say. You said this letter appeared, let me just go to the second paragraph. You talked about, my office is not amused, the DOJ's posturing, and will not tolerate any effort to undermine or interfere with our state Senate audit to reassure Arizonans of the accuracy of our elections. We stand ready to defend federalism and state sovereignty against any partisan attacks or federal overreach. What is the U.S. Department of Justice trying to do, and what are you prepared to do?
First and foremost, Tony, one of the things that all people of faith have to realize is that the Biden administration is radically changing the government by trying to concentrate powers in Washington, D.C., because they want to control our livelihoods, our lives, and that ultimately will undermine all of our religious liberties. So what Department of Justice is claiming to do is they're claiming that they're going to use the Civil Rights Division, and they're going to start looking at states like Arizona or other states that are passing these common sense election integrity measures and scrutinize them under the guise of trying to protect civil rights. But the reality is that it's clearly an overreach on the part of the federal government. And we all need to be cognizant and recognize that whether it's dealing with tax and spend policies, whether it's trying to dictate to us in our personal lives, or whether now it's trying to control state elections, you have an attempt by the radical left to change this country. And it's changing it through this concentration of power and creating a dependence on Washington, D.C. So I've already been involved, Tony, in numerous cases. In fact, you know there's a case right now pending at the U.S. Supreme Court called Brnovich v. DNC, B-R-N-O-V-I-C-H v. DNC. It's named after me. I personally argued at the U.S. Supreme Court because left-wing groups came in and tried to undermine our election integrity measures, our restrictions on, you know, political parties and candidates engaging in mass ballot harvesting, restrictions on out-of-state precinct voting, things that are common sense measures that a majority of states have. And yet now the left is trying to portray those as somehow racist or disenfranchising people. And the reality is it's just the opposite, Tony. What these common sense measures do, not only here in Arizona but other places, they're consistent with the Constitution on time, place, and manner restrictions on elections. But more importantly, they allow people to have confidence that when they go into the ballot box, when they go to send their ballot in, when they vote, that every vote will be counted and no votes that are fraudulent or phony will be counted. So we want to make sure that everyone has confidence in the election process, and that means having common sense election integrity measures. And I've literally fought all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court on this issue.
It is so critical. And it's so critical that people know that you're doing it, because they are discouraged by what the reports that came out of the November election. They know something was not right. It was widespread across the country and states. In fact, 47 states, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 48, have election reform measures in some form or fashion in their state legislatures. And that is to reassure people, just as you said, that your vote counts, that it's not going to be corrupted, or you're not going to be disenfranchised. And the left doesn't want people to be hopeful and encouraged that their state elected officials are fighting this. Now, you also took, I think, the attorney general to school here in your letter. You said it's important to remember that states created the federal government, not the other way around. That's a good history lesson. It's a good civics lesson for all Americans to remember.
We especially need to remember that, Tony, because now there's this attempt through, you know, critical race theory and the 1619 Project to fundamentally alter or undermine people's understanding, especially young people, you know, my daughters and, you know, these younger generations' understanding of our history. I'm fortunate because our kids went to a charter school and they read the Federalist Papers. They understand that this was a nation conceived in liberty. It was conceived in this idea about the separation of powers and the Constitution being the supreme law of the land. So it is important for people to remember that, and especially important for people like me to push back against the federal government when they try to nationalize every single issue.
It is absolutely important, and we are so grateful, Attorney General Brnovich, that you are doing that. And we applaud you, and we are grateful that there are others joining with you to do just that, because it is the final line of defense against an overreaching federal government. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much.
All right. That was the state attorney general for the state of Arizona, Mark Brnovich. And this is what we need more of. We need more state officials pushing back against the federal government. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk China with Congresswoman Vicky Hartzler of Missouri. That's next. Don't go away.
It is important for God's children to spend time with him in his word, but it can be difficult to know where to start. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That is why Family Research Council offers their Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. Read the Bible daily so you can be transformed by God's Word. Sign up today at frc.org/Bible.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, lots of things going on, and I want to make sure I get through, get to as much as I can. First off, folks from our team are standing by because we're coming up to the end of our fiscal year, and this program only comes to you because of folks like you that partner with us. And right now, we've got $1 million match that's out there. So the bottom line to this is if you give $10, it'll be made 20. If you give 20, it'll be 40. If you give 50, it'll be 100. You get the picture. So we have folks standing by to take your phone call if you want to call and join with us. Partner with the Family Research Council in Washington Watch, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008, or you can visit tonyperkins.com. All right, yesterday, the Chinese Foreign Ministry hit back at the G7 after the group released a communique in which they called on China to respect human rights and fundamental freedoms, especially in the as it relates to Xinjiang and Hong Kong. Now, there is no longer denying. In fact, I was in, as I mentioned earlier, I was out yesterday and Monday in a U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, and China factored in very heavily as we talked about the abuse. In fact, as you know, or you may know, I've been sanctioned by the Chinese government for advocating for religious freedom in China, advocating for the Uyghurs, advocating against their horrific policies forcing abortions. Now, they're backing off because of their demographic problems they have of their one-child, two-child policy. Now, they're generously allowing families to have three. But the G7 leaders also underscored the importance of peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait, also called for a new investigation into China, into the origins of COVID-19, the coronavirus. China, not surprisingly, is not pleased. Here's what they had to say.
We have noticed that the joint communique of the G7 summit mentioned issues involving China, which deliberately smeared China on issues related to Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and Taiwan, and China's marine territory and interfered in China's internal affairs. The act has seriously violated the purposes and principles of the UN Charter, which runs contrary to the trend of the times for peace, development, cooperation, mutual benefits, exposing the evil intentions of the U.S. and a few other countries to artificially create antagonisms and estrangements and widen differences and contradictions.
Now, if you're watching, not just listening, but if you're watching online, you saw the video. I don't know how that guy did that with a straight face. I really don't know how he said all that. Well, with me now to talk about China and the very things that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't want us to talk about is Congresswoman Vicky Hartzler of Missouri. She serves on the Congressional Executive Commission on China and is a senior member of the House Armed Services Committee. She is also working very hard to defend the values that you and I care about on Capitol Hill as the chair, co-chair of the Values Action Team. Vicky, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here.
All right, let me just jump right into this. How would you respond to the Chinese foreign minister's, the spokesman's comments about the G7 and earlier making the comment that America is very sick as it talks about the connection with COVID-19?
Well, they are just totally covering up the activities that they are waging against their own people and against the world. I mean, the fact is that they have over a million, almost 2 million Uyghur Muslims in internment camps in the Xinjiang province. And we have know that. We see that from satellite photos. We have seen that from individuals who have escaped. They are conducting genocide in that region. And our own government, under Secretary Pompeo's leadership, we designated the Chinese government, the Communist Party, of committing genocide in that area, I introduced legislation called the SOS Act to stop oppressive sterilizations act, because even though, to your point, that they are encouraging more children to be born in other parts of their country because of their demographics and their failed one-child policy, which is coming back to haunt them. But in the Xinjiang province, we have seen a decrease in population because of the forced abortions and the sterilizations that they're inflicting on the women there. And so they have very much an evil intent. And to call us evil is just unbelievable. And certainly with what they did with the coronavirus, when they inflicted that on the world. Now, whether it was done purposely or by accident, we don't know. But we do know that it originated from China. And certainly now there's growing evidence that it came from their own Wuhan Institute of Virology, their own research lab, which was conducting research on how to make this virus more more deadly. And then we had three researchers now that we know that a month before China even acknowledged this was a disease that were it went to the hospital with symptoms of COVID-19. And then they covered up anybody, whistleblowers and researchers and reporters and doctors, anybody who spoke out and tried to get the truth out about this. And as a result, we've had over 600,000 Americans who have died from this virus, and we've had millions worldwide. And so for them to say they did nothing wrong and that we're evil, I think it's totally opposite of reality.
You mentioned former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I really think the Trump administration set the stage that I don't think the Biden administration wants to be in this position, because they really can't back away from holding China accountable. Although it looks like to me they're trying their best to try to do that. But you recently produced a four-part series that outlines the multitude of threats that China presents to us, the military threats, the economic threats, the malign influence, and the human rights abuses that we were just talking about. And, you know, I think about this as President Biden was beginning the G7 meeting. He goes and he speaks to some of our members of the Air Force, and he says, you know, the greatest threat facing America is global warming. What parallel universe is he living in?
It is just mind-boggling, and it is scary that here our leader of our country is supposed to be the leader of our world, is just acquiescing to this, either ignoring it or just totally clueless on this. And I do encourage people to go to my website at hartzler.house.gov and watch these videos, because there is so much information here. I want individuals to know. I'm, as you say, a senior member of the Armed Services Committee. I have been in classified briefings for years now, and this is open source information, but it's put together, for instance, put together in a way that I think would be very eye-opening to individuals in our country. For instance, on the military threat, how many Americans know that China has the world's largest Navy and the world's largest Army? How many people know that they have more ships than we do? They have more people in the army, that they have more ground-based missiles, that they have over the last 10 years increased their defense budget by 75%. At the same time, now we have President Biden cutting in real dollars our defense budget. This is very, very concerning. On our videos, you'll see where we were at in comparison to China and capabilities and the number of planes and the number of assets in space and satellites and other things we had a few years ago, where we are now and where we're projected to be in 10 years. It is very, very scary and concerning. And that's why I've been fighting so hard to increase our defense dollars, to make sure we have the capabilities we need to be able to meet their threat. Then we have, as you talked about, the economic security.
Before we go to that, I just want to underscore that not only do they have the materiel and the personnel, but they're acting in a very aggressive manner.
Absolutely. I have a friend who's going to be a missionary to Taiwan, and she is very concerned, as am I. That's one reason I reintroduced the Taiwan Defense Act with Representative Gallagher and others here recently, because since Biden has been in office, China has increased their aggression against Taiwan, and they are flying airplanes over Taiwan's airspace. They're threatening them. And this is a very real concern that they're going to try to invade or take over Taiwan. And we have to stand strong for them. We saw what they've done in the South China Seas, where they converted sandbars into military outposts all over the South China Sea in order to try to stop the freedom of navigation in that area, control that area. And they're just not, they're ignoring world order and opinion, and they're just going forward. And whether it be militarily or, like I said, with their Belt and Road Initiative, they're performing debt trap diplomacy all over the country, all over the world, as far as with our third world countries, gaining access to ports, to rare earth minerals, to other natural resources, trying to increase their influence worldwide. Because make no mistake, their goal is world dominance. And I think we need to take them seriously and not just say this is just some crazy idea. They have a plan and they're implementing the plan.
Yeah. They certainly are. And a part of that plan is their economic strategy as well.
Yes. I mean, they have all this money that they loan to these third world countries at a very high interest rate. I've been to Sri Lanka. I have seen the port there that they were able to recapture because, of course, Sri Lanka couldn't make those payments. And they said, okay, well, we'll run it if you just give us a 99-year lease. And so they've taken over that very key strategic place where their Navy could come if there's a conflict, or they can just control the commerce in the area. And they're doing this all over the world.
We're almost out of time, Vicky, but one other thing I just wanted to mention. China gets a pass on this big global warming climate change agenda that Biden is pursuing with the other countries. China gets a pass on that. They got to continue to do what they're doing. I mean, this does not make sense on any front.
It's a foolish policy. It's a foolish policy to cut our energy production here, increase our cost here, and make us more dependent on other countries for our energy source, and at the same time, give China a pass. And they are the world's number one producer of pollution, of carbon dioxide. They're building coal-fired plants on a regular basis there, as well as India. Right. And so why would we get back in the Paris Climate Accords, which ties our hands, and then frees them up to continue to pollute the world without these economic restraints? It is free.
Right. And they've shown that they don't want to be good neighbors. They have malintent on many, many fronts. Congresswoman Vicky Hartzler, great to talk with you. Thanks for all the leadership you're providing on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. And I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.